good evening, everybody. Glad to be back with you tonight. I pushed it right up to the limit of time, and so we apologize for that, but want to go to the Lord in prayer. And glad tonight for each of those who will be joining us and those who might be hopping on just a little bit. Do want to say thank you. We did get a comment this afternoon from name just left me, but anyways, sister did comment on it, and we certainly appreciate that. And I do ask that if you want to comment or ask a prayer request, please feel free to do so. I do ask tonight, right off, that you would remember the Callie Goins family and lift them up in prayer as she has passed. So we ask you remember that this evening. Again, praying for those that are sick, lifting them up in prayer tonight. Jacob and others, who Brother Don Denson, lifting them up that we know of tonight that are sick. And that Sister Donna Faye, continue to remember her. Brother Jerry and his treatment. Keith Noblin is doing better, but do remember that in your prayers as well. And then also, co-worker of Sister Kenya's family, of Sister Kenya, remember their family in prayer. Anita Humphreys will be having a surgery, or rather seeing the surgeon, on February the 9th. So we ask that you would remember them in prayer. And then also tonight, just want to say thank you for all of those, again, that have tuned in. Had some offers this afternoon to come and help us in service. And because we had been around a few folks who had been sick, we appreciate the offer, but had rather not get together in that regard. But Zach and Mariah, they do live with us, and they come down this afternoon, and they'd come over to church. So they're going to help us sing a song too here in just a moment. But just let you know, I love you, I miss you, and I do look forward to seeing everybody again, if the Lord wills, on a Sunday in service. But we're going to go to prayer. Father, tonight we thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace. Ask you, dear God, tonight, help us, Lord, to do thy will, to praise, worship, honor, and glorify thy name. Keep us, Father, safe and sound in thine hands. God, protect us, Lord, as only you can. Touch the leaves, dear God, tonight, according to your plan, your will, and your purpose. Dear God, we do pray for the Goins Pertain family, dear God, that you would lift them up as only you can, dear God, and comfort them, dear God. We pray tonight. Now, we just ask you, Lord, help us to be that which we need to be for thy name's sake, to honor you in all things that we say and do. And we'll give you glory, Father, tonight, in the precious name of Christ Jesus, and in his name, amen. And amen. Thank you. thankful for that tonight. And we've got one we're looked up earlier today and thought we would give it a try. In the day and hour that we're living in, you know, we think about how we can just about see the lights of home. And this is the song, The Lights of Home. John tells of a city he saw coming down, where no sorrow or death will be known. That someday we could go there and forever live in that heavenly, heavenly home. Oh, I can almost see the lights of that city. I see them gathered all around the great white throne. Through faith in my Savior and His wonderful love, oh, I can almost see the lights of home. Well, sometimes when I'm burdened and my cross gets hard to bear, and oh, Satan tries to dim my view, then I look up to Jesus, He is standing close by, and once again His great light shines through. Oh, I can almost see the lights of that city. I see them gathered all around the great white throne. Through faith in my Savior and His wonderful love, oh, I can almost see the lights of home. Oh, I can almost see the lights of that city, see them gathered all around the great white throne. Through faith in my Savior and His wonderful love, oh, I can almost see the lights of home. I tell you tonight, truly, if we just trust in the Lord, I think we all probably would feel somewhat that way, that we can almost see those lights. And I was thinking, Lynetta's cousin used to sing that back at the Bentonville Free Will Baptist Church, Wendy. And she would sing that, and it's such a pretty song, and I enjoyed it. And, you know, it's been a long time since we've been back to the old home church, and actually it's no longer there or in existence anymore. They've went to a new location. They've changed the name. And, you know, So we can't actually go back to the old Bentonville Free Will Baptist Church. But that was the place where, I'll be honest with you, the starting of our ministry was there. Brother Anthony Lane really opened up the doors to let us come in and preach, and taught us a lot. And we're so thankful for that. One of the things that he taught us, though, was that we should always hold on to God and be faithful there. And do what is right. And I'll tell you something tonight, church, that we're living in a world today that doesn't believe that. And also, I'll say this, we've got a lot of church folks today, and when I say that, not talking about our church necessarily, although there might be some in our church, that's for them and God to determine. But there's a lot of church folks today, folks who go to church who just have no respect or fear of God's judgment or His wrath to come, and matter of fact, convince themselves and try to convince others that they don't have to worry about that. If they'll just say a few words, call it a prayer, a few words, or have somebody pray for them, then that's all right. And they can just go on and live their life and everything's going to be okay. And they justify it by saying that they're just the difference between them and other folks is that when they get to heaven, they just won't have as many rewards. And so then they say that, you know, if they can just have a little cabin over off into the corner, they'll be all right. But I'm here to tell you tonight, God doesn't set us apart and say, well, you were better than this one, and this one was better than this one, and so you sit up here and you go way back over there, or you can live over here close to my house, and the rest of you got to live back over there. Either we're going to go to heaven by the grace of God, by Jesus Christ, and we're going to walk with Him, or we're going to be in trouble. Now, just remember this, Romans chapter 8, for there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I believe that is a very true Bible teaching and a principle there that tells me that I have to live according to the Word of God and not make it up. And by the way, it tells me that if I pretend or if I fake or if I try to justify some other means, that I'm going to be in trouble. And matter of fact, I just won't be there. I just believe that with all of my heart. So if you got your Bibles tonight, as I said this morning, we would be in the book of Isaiah again this evening. And we're going to be there again starting in verse 8. Now, I know we started there this morning reading through there, but we're going to read a little further down tonight than what we did this morning. So, Father, we ask You, Lord, help us tonight to do Your will. Help us, Father, to praise Your name. But God, to warn those, Father, this evening. I really feel like that this is a message, dear God, to warn us, to keep us in Thine hands, and to keep us, Father, from going the wrong way and doing the wrong things, God, tonight. And so I pray, Father, help me not to simply read the words, but, dear God, to heed the words. And Lord, I pray that everybody would do the same tonight, Father, we pray. Now just let Your will be done in Jesus' name. In His name, amen. It says, woe unto them that join houses to houses, that lay field to field, till there be no more place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. I want to tell you something tonight. I just think about this. You can't contract this verse back there, but think about this. They one time thought that they would build a tower. We know it as the Tower of Babel. And they were going to lay it up, and they were going to build a tower that reached up into heaven, and they were going to do that. And just think about it this tonight, that they'd say that they'd do this, and that there'd be they'd be alone in the midst of the earth. You and I, friend, no matter how much we build, no matter how much we would want to try, and by the way, I don't, but think about it this. Now there's no possible way tonight to do so much that there would be no more place on earth, or that we could hide ourselves, as the verses I'll get to here in a little bit. He said, in my ears has said the Lord of hosts, of true, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitation. God has no respect for person tonight. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an omer shall yield an ephah. So think about this, and I can't get into all these measurements there because I don't know them. I'm not going to lie about it. But anyways, it's not going to be what you think. He said, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow after strong drink, that continue until the night, till wine inflame them. And I'm going to say something right here this evening. Think about this for just a moment. There are some folks today, even in the Christian world, who don't think there's a problem with drinking as long as the drink doesn't control you. But my Bible doesn't say that anywhere tonight. As I said this morning, there was a time in my life when I used to drink, and I know this, that God brought me out of that. There was a reason for taking that from me. And I say this, He didn't have to try too hard. All He said is, Ernie, that's not what I have planned for you in life. And when He said that, friend, I gave it up. because I want what God wants for me to have. The Bible even tells us, be not filled with the wine, but rather be filled with the Spirit. We ought to be seeking out the things of God, seeking out the Spirit of God, instead of thinking we can fill ourselves with worldly things or worldly drink, get rid of our sorrows. Can I tell you something tonight? Friend, you can go and drink all you want and take all the medicine type stuff and try to relieve yourself of the world problems there. But the truth of the matter is, when they both wear off, you'll have the same problems you've always had unless you give your heart over to God. And then you won't need those things because God will be in control. And I'm not saying people don't need medicine. I take pills for different things in my life, the blood pressure, thyroid, heart. And I just tell you tonight, taking those pills, the doctor said I need them, I'll take those pills. But you cannot medicate your problems away. You cannot medicate your sorrows away. You cannot take tonight and drink up all the drink in the world or use other types of drugs in the world and wake up and your problems all be gone because you drunk or did that. They're going to be there. What you got to do, as I said before, give your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, turn it all over to Him and He'll take care of things. Just follow after Him, and not to say you'll never have another problem, but like I said many times before, I'd rather go through all the flames and fire with the Lord Jesus Christ than to try to get through this life without Him. So He said, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, and they that continue until the night, till wine inflame them. He said, the harp and the vial, and the tavern and pipe and wine are their feast. In other words, I'll tell you this something, church. There are a lot of folks who try to get rid of their sorrow with worldly music even. I mean, just think about it for just a second. There's singers out there who sing about all the problems they've got and all the things that's going on there, thinking that some sad song or some romantic song even will rid them of their heart problems that they have. But the truth of the matter is, again, that goes back that you got to give your life over to Jesus Christ. Friend, you cannot drink or eat away your problems there. You got to turn unto the Lord. He said, so the harp and the vial and the tabard and the pipe and the wine are in their feast, but they regard not the works of the Lord. Neither consider the operations of His hands. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I know that God can do far better with what than what I can do. Friend, and I know this. We sung a song, a little as much if God is in it. And there's a little bit of me, not very much, but I know this, that God can do a whole lot with my little bit if I'll just give Him all that I've got. And I've seen that in my lifetime. I know it's true tonight. He said, therefore my people are gone into captivity. Listen to me now. Friend, we're in captivity today. And a lot of folks don't even understand or don't even know they're captive today. How they're being captivated by the world and the things of the world. As Brother Mike Hoggard says, they've got the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And they don't even realize that those things are the things that are tying them up. How about these things before God will get you in a lot of trouble? A matter of fact, will have you cast into outer darkness there. But He said, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and there's their honorable men are famished, and their multitude are dried up with thirst. Listen to me. The Bible tells us in Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But yet we know tonight that they're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness anymore. That's why they're famished. That's why they're in trouble. They're looking for the world and the worldly things to satisfy the needs that they have, to take away the sorrows that they have, and they don't put their faith and their trust in God. May I say tonight, the Bible tells me that Jesus said He came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. He also told us that His joy He wanted inside of us, that we would have joy unspeakable and full of mercy. And so we know these things tonight. Then in verse 14, as we read these this morning, right? Therefore hath hell enlarged herself, opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp hath
Hath he that rejoiced, shall descend into it. In other words, they're going down. Folks, just as easy as it can be said in high, they're going to go down to hell. They're not going to escape it. They're going to go into the place they desire because they do not acknowledge God. We'll get into some of these things tonight, but I want you to think about it. I said, and the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eye of the lofty one shall be humbled, but the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. You and I tonight, church, listen to me. How we're looking at these things and we're not thinking the way we ought to sometimes. But listen to me now. Look back here just a minute there. He said, and the mean man shall be brought down, the mighty man shall be humbled, and the high of the lofty shall be humbled. We know this tonight, that those that exalt themselves shall be abased, the Bible says. Those that lift themselves up to one day will find that the God that they ignored or thought they were better than, thought they were smarter than, thought they were greater than, thought they were bigger than, thought they were able to outwit, one day they'll stand before God, and the Bible said that He'll judge the great and the small, and those that are found not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire which burneth forever and ever. In other words, they're not going to be anybody any smarter than God. When you stand in judgment, you'll either stand there with the blood applied, having followed after God in righteousness, or you'll stand there naked and ashamed before God. But He said, but the Lord of hosts, I shall be exalted in judgment, and God and the God that is holy shall be sanctified. Then shall the lamb feed after the manner in the waste place, and the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as if it were a cart rope. Let that say, let him make speed and hasten his works. Listen to me now, that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. I'm going to tell you something, church. There are some folks who say this: God, if you're coming back, prove it. God, if you're on the throne, prove it. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. I wouldn't want to stand in those shoes tonight for nothing there. And I also say this for him: I don't cry, God, come now. Even so, come quickly, because I've got some friends and family who's lost, who need Jesus. But I know this tonight: I don't need God to come back and prove that He's real in order for me to know that He's on the throne. I don't need Him to come back and show Himself likeness like Thomas wanted to see with his eyes and feel with his hands. I don't need God to do that tonight to show me that He's real, that He's alive, that He's well, that He's in control. Because I know this tonight, I can feel Him in my heart. I can feel Him, as old song says, I feel Him in my hands. I feel Him in my feet. I feel Him all over me. There's not a place that I don't feel God. Whenever I'm doing His will, following His way, the Holy Spirit working in my life, there's not a time that I don't feel God. Friend, I know that He's real. I know that He's right. I know that He's alive. I know that He's well. I know that He's on the throne. I know that He's in control. There's no two ways about it tonight. I absolutely, positively do believe and know that God is God. And friend, I'm thankful for that tonight. But then He says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, how for bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I thought about this verse here tonight, and I begin to think about some things that we don't like to deal with from time to time, but we ought to deal with. I think about it this way tonight, church. How He said, "There woe unto them that call good evil, call evil good and good evil." How we're living in a day and hour when we call this just like what it is. There, I think about a few things tonight. My Bible tells me that if a man lie with a man, it's an abomination. If a woman lie with a woman, it's an abomination. If they lie with a beast, it's an abomination. How about what we say today is, well, that's just being gay, or that's just being homosexual there. And we don't even like that word today because people want to say you're homophobic. How about, listen to me, my Bible tells me that God created man for woman and woman for man. If you read your Bible tonight, and I'll just say it like like this, church. I don't see how you can claim to be a child of God and think that the Bible is wrong and that it's okay to be gay. Now, friend, let me tell you something tonight. When we start saying that, the reason they like using those words there is so they can kind of whitewash out the fact that God said that it was an abomination. I mean, after all, the word gay was supposed to mean happy. And so we say, well, you're supposed to be happy. Let me tell you something tonight, church. How the Bible tells me there's pleasure in sin for a season. How about after this, the judgment? So listen to me tonight. I'll just say this. There ain't going to be a gay person in this world, a homosexual person in this world, a lesbian in this world, who's practicing that, living that, dying in that, who will be in heaven. By the way, it's an abomination not only unto God to commit such an act, but if you have a church or you allow your church to have such a person in the pulpit, let alone ordain them and allow them to preach and pastor there, you're committing an abomination before God. Friend, I'm going to tell you something tonight. God's not going to tolerate that kind of stuff. When you stand in judgment, you'll give an answer for it. There's no way about it tonight. I'm just simply telling you the truth tonight. They call good evil and evil good. And think about it this way. We want to call it abortion, but the fact of the matter is abortion is murder. It's killing a child. It's killing a life. I thought about it this way. It's amazing to me how that if you spank your child because you love them, you'll go to jail. But if you murder your child saying you love them and you didn't want them to come into this world, you get praise and accolades, and the Congress says you ought to have a right to do it. An amazing thing. Have a child, spank it, but go to jail. Kill a child before it gets in this world and has an opportunity to even try to show you that it can love you back, that it can do the right thing. Things that are created in the image of God, friend, and it's all right there. Another thing to think about tonight, think about it this way. We'll get after people who mistreat animals there. In other words, they'll harm animals. And so they'll do things like leave them out in the sun without no water. Or they'll chain them up. Friends, I'm telling you something, they'll throw you in jail for that too. Again, but they won't do nothing to you for murdering a baby. I mean, come on, church. Something's wrong with this world when we're living in that way there. I think about it tonight. You can do all kinds of things and simply try to justify in the world today. We'll let you get away with those things as long as you don't do anything godly. But for the minute you stand up for God and you start talking about the Word of God and the will of God, the principles of God, living underneath the authority of God, all of a sudden there, now you are an evil person. You are a hate monger. You are somebody who don't tolerate people, and they call you all kinds of names. And by the way, call me what you want to. I've got a name above all names, or not above all names. I got a new name written down in glory, which only the God, the Father knows at this time, but I'll know it one day, a friend, because I serve Him who has a name above all names. A friend, I'm not worried about this world, but I am worried about my life to come, and therefore I want to call it just like God calls it. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And we ought to do what's right in the sight of God, regardless of what man seems to think. If they think back, go back there just a few verses there. Verse 15, and a mean man shall be brought down, a mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. Think about it. You can go over to the book of Romans. I don't want to go there tonight, but you can go over to the first chapter. You can read all about these folks, all about their insensitivities to God, more concerned about man. And by the way, that's the way it is today. Again, more concerned about man than they are about God. Just think about it another way. You can call them transgendered. In other words, they were born the wrong way. I mean, my Bible tells me again, God made male male and God made female female, and I don't care what kind of surgeries you do to your body. God knows what your X chromosomes and your Y chromosomes are. God knows what your DNA was made of. When you stand before God, the mutilation won't change the facts. Folks, I'm telling you something tonight. We want to say that they were born the wrong way. But then on the same hand, you think about it this way. They'll say, well, I was born the wrong gender. I'm supposed to be a male, or I'm supposed to be a female when they're in the other one there. And then they turn around and they say, because they are homosexual, that God made them that way. I mean, come on, church. Let me just ask you a question there. Doesn't the Bible tell us that when God let out Noah and his family out of the ark, he told them to be fruitful and multiply? And I'll still say, I'll tell you today that no two men can have a child. I don't care about what the ex-governor or whatever he was down there in Texas, him and his so-called husband, which ain't a husband, friend, I'm telling you, I have no business adopting babies and raising them. But anyways, they did that, friend, and they called that a family. That's not a family. A family is what God has made, what God has ordained. Friend, they're going to be brought down one of these days. They think they're so smart, but one day they're going to stand before God and they're going to give an answer. And so will those that call it okay. Friend, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. The darkness for light and light for darkness. And my Bible tells me, friend, let me tell you something, that there's a trouble and time coming to those who cannot or will not adhere to the things of God, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and open strength to mingle strong drink. Friend, I'm telling you something tonight. There's some things that I know all too well and high, because I've been on the wrong road myself. But there's those folks who drink, and when they drink, they think they're pretty smart. After a while, they act like they're the strongest there is. Next thing you know, they're the meanest there is. And then the next thing you know, they're usually in trouble some way, somehow. And can I tell you something else tonight? Friend, there's some things about this too that I really have a hard time with, because I can remember a time that my brother was on his way home from work. One New Year's Eve, he left out of the office. They let him off early. I can't remember, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He was about half a mile, maybe a mile from where he worked there. And then the next thing you know, a car come around the corner. Lost control, slid sideways. He T-boned that car. Hit it on the side of a teenage boy. Friend, and then as my brother was okay, got out. That young man that was on that side, he was transported to the hospital. He was in pretty bad shape. How about my brother went around the car there, and in the bottom of the car, back seat of the car, he looked over and he saw an upside down baby seat. Well, he thought he would check it just to make sure. He started to pick that up, and there was some weight in that baby seat. He pulled that up, and there was a baby, and that baby had fell over out of that car in the car seat, because what's fastened in there, his face was buried down there in some cat litter. He had to clean the cat litter out of the baby's mouth and nose and stuff, so the baby could breathe there. And the baby, luckily, was all right. I was just in that bang up there. But just think about it this way. The young man was seriously hurt there. The baby was hurt there. But the only person in that car wasn't hurt was the drunk on the driver's side. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't wish he was hurt, but I sure wish today that he had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, get God in his life instead of alcohol in his life. Maybe he has since that time. I don't know. Maybe he's gone on to meet the Lord and stood there in judgment. I don't know where he is, but I'm just telling you something tonight, church. It's amazing to me how that you go out and you get drunk and you do drugs and you have a wreck there, and people blame it all on the alcohol, or they blame it all on the drugs, but they never blame it on the sin. They never put the responsibility on the person there. The person is a victim to that. I'm here to tell you, you become a child of God, you're no longer a victim, but a victor. Friend, you're set aside. You're brought up out of those things there. God gives you a new way of going, a new life, a new way to walk there. And then in chapter 10 of Isaiah says, woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, that right grievous, which they have prescribed. I'm going to tell you something. I'll be honest with you tonight. I would not want to be in the seat of any congressman or woman who is in Congress today, who are in the Supreme Court or the White House or any other place as far as that goes, who writes laws to justify these deeds that are sinful acts before God, and stand up then and try to protect them. Can you imagine standing before God and arguing the right to privacy and saying that the right to privacy gives you the right to kill your unborn child, gives you the right to be a homosexual, gives you a right to be a child molester, gives you the right to be a wife abuser or a husband abuser. I mean, I'm not going to hang my hat just on sexual sins tonight. There are a lot of sins that are going on out there. I mean, the Bible, how do you justify before God to be a drunkard? How do you justify before God to be a drug abuser? How are you going to justify before God to even be a God hater or a God despiser or a Bible despiser? Friend, I'm telling you tonight, now when you stop to think about it, you and I will one day stand before God, and the Bible's telling us, woe unto them, and the things that we think about, woe unto them that are unrighteous or decree unrighteous decree that write grievous things, to turn, verse 2, to turn aside the needy for judgment and take away the right from the poor of my people. The widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fathers. I'm going to tell you something right there tonight. Church, can you imagine? This verse 1 deals greatly with those that are in authority writing law. But verse 2 deals with those that are supposed to be religious, if you think about it this way, that turn aside the needy from judgment. They look at them and don't think there's any need. Take away the right from the poor. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Can I just say this? Poor folks need rights too, but here's the deal. We'll take away all the rights of the poor. We'll give them everything that we can possibly give them and tell them they need to rely or be dependent upon us instead of standing on their own feet. There's a lot of other things to that. But then also this, we will take and tell folks that they don't have a right to be with the way they are, but the widow and their praise. And I'll just say this, there's a few churches out there tonight who will prey on widow people. I'm going to tell you, I don't want to stand in Jimmy Swaggart's place there. He took from a family, from a lady, millions of dollars there, deceived her and did all these things. And then the family found out about it, tried to do something about it, and he told them, no. I'm going to tell you, I don't want to be in that man's seat. He's wrote his own Bible, and in the Bible he's put his arguments against the Word of God. He calls it a King James Bible, but it's a Jimmy Swaggart Bible. I mean, you can even read in there, it'll say a verse there, and then he'll tell you what that verse should have said, because he thinks he's smarter than God. I don't want to be in a place like that, church. I don't want to be a religious man who thinks he's smarter than God. I'm not smarter than God. A matter of fact, compared to God, I'm as dumb as a box of rocks. Friend, let me tell you something tonight. But I am smart enough to know that in this world, I need my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because he said, woe unto them who don't. And then in Isaiah chapter 29, you can go over there tonight, and we'll read there in verse 15. He said this, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord and their works. Now listen to me, church. Listen to this. Their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? My Bible tells me that God sees and that God knows. If you would go over into the book of Hebrews, chapter 4 tonight. Let's look here in a moment for verse 12. He said, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him of whom ye have to do. Let me tell you this, God knows exactly what's going on in your life. God knows exactly what's going on in my life. We're not going to be hiding these things from God. Can you imagine this tonight? My friend, and I know I'm telling you something that shouldn't surprise us, but It says, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord. Can you imagine this? There are people out there, and I know this for a fact, because they'll say, hey, you got a problem, here's what you need to do, but don't tell nobody that I told you to do that. A matter of fact, don't tell nobody that you're doing that. Friend, let me tell you something tonight. The devil wants you to keep in secret all the things that you do that are wrong so that nobody find out and tell you the truth that you're doing the wrong things and you need to do the right things. But here's the fact in the matter tonight. Again, God already knows what's going on. God already knows what you're doing there. You're not going to hide these things from God. So he said he seek to hide their counsel from the Lord. They don't want anybody to know this is what they're telling you. Have you ever thought about it this way? Now, friend, and I've not been into every church in America, but why in the world do you go into a church and the only thing that's lit up is the pulpit area there where you can see the preacher there, you can see the singers there, but they can't see anybody back in the crowd there. It's all dark. It's all blacked out there. Friend, I'll tell you something why. Because the truth of the matter is this. They don't want anybody to be judged, right? They don't want anybody to be, and then they want the spotlight on themselves. Can I tell you something tonight? When I stand in the pulpit, the spotlight of God is on me. When you sit in the pews or you listen online, the spotlight of God is on you. What I tell you in the line, I'll answer for God in the line. Him. What you're doing with it in the line, God will answer. You'll answer for God in the line. But if we were both in the dark, we would still have to give an account unto God in the line. There's no way around it tonight. We're not going to escape the judgment of God. So he said, woe unto them that do these things. And then he says, and they say, who seeth us? Friend, let me tell you something. I know when I was a kid, we never do anything, so to say, wrong in the eyes of mom and dad. I can remember one day after school, we was mad at the bus driver. So we got off the bus at the top of the hill. We knew his route and how he had to come down, and he'd make a circle and come back. And so it usually took about 15 to 20 minutes for the bus driver, once he dropped us off, to come back around through there. And over there on the side of the road, not very far from my house, there was a great big old ditch. Now, I'm pretty much taller than I was back then, but I don't know how big it was. But let's just say this. I probably was about 4.5 foot tall or so, and the ditch was about 5 foot tall. We had to jump down in there, and we'd have to crawl out. But we thought this. We're mad at the bus driver. We'll go down the house, and we went down the house, and we each went. I got a couple of eggs in our hands. And I'm going to tell you, if I'd have done that with mom and dad in the house, they'd have known all about it. A friend, they'd have gave me a good old-fashioned whooping for taking eggs that I wasn't going to eat. How about we snuck off, got those eggs, went down, jumped inside the ditch there, and we waited for the bus to come by there. When the bus come by there, a friend, we were down in the ditch, didn't think the driver could see us, and we chunked those eggs up and splattered the side of the bus. He slowed down there. And I thought, boy, we're in trouble now. We laid down flat in the ditch there. He rolled back down the hill there. We could have swore he never saw us, couldn't see us. I mean, there was no way. He stopped there, and then he took off. He didn't get off of the bus and look or nothing like that. He just stopped, and then he took back off. And we thought, boy, we sure showed him. We got away with that. And the next morning, I was getting there. I was the first one on the bus there. The bus stopped, and I got on the bus, and the bus driver just looked at me, and he said, Ernie, sit right there. He put me in the very front seat. It didn't take very long. We got to the next stop, and the next person who was with us and the egg throwing, and they put us, and they put us in the seat. Friend, and so the next person, put them in the seat. When we all got to school, we all had pink slips for throwing eggs at the bus. You say, well, how did he know it was you? Well, we thought he couldn't see us, but here's the deal. He had some curved mirrors on the bus that could see down into the ditch, and so with the mirrors, he was able to see us. See, we couldn't hide from him doing wrong, and you and I can't hide from God doing wrong. So who seeth us? Well, God seeth us. The Bible tells us that all things are open and manifest before God. Friend, and then it said, who knoweth us? There ain't nobody knows you like God knows you. That's just the facts of the matter tonight. And we would say, but how does he know? The Bible told us just right there in that passage of Scripture there. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints of the marrow, and is the discerner, listen to me, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God knoweth the heart. Remember, He said, these people draw nigh to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Think about it tonight. Go over to the book of Hosea if you want, but just write it down if you ain't got it there. And just think about this, verse chapter 7 and verse 13. It says, "Woe unto them, for they have fled from me, a destruction unto them." There are folks who are trying to get away from God. They're not going to get away from God. He said, because they have transgressed against me. They know that they're not doing the right things. The Bible tells us there is a time in our lives when we come to the point of accountability. For him that knoweth to do good and doth it not, to him it is sin. And so when we look at it tonight and we think about it this way, woe unto them that have fled from me, destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. Can you imagine this tonight, church? There are folks out there, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, died for the sins of the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have life everlasting. Romans said, whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Bible says there is no difference between the Greek or the Jew or the Greek, for the same God is over all, unto all, rich and all. I know I didn't get that just right, but think about it this way. He said, they have yet spoken lies against me. They try to get away from Him. They transgressed against Him. Even though He reached out to them in love and mercy, He redeemed them. Think about it this way. They turned their back on Him. And the children of Israel, if you think about it like this, in the book of Exodus, when they were brought out of Egypt there, God brought every one of them out, except those who would not come. But there was thousands of people who come out. They went very far out of Egypt, and they wanted to go back. They were tired of doing what God wanted. Just a few days into the journey, and they were saying, why did God bring us out here to die? Oh, it'd been better to be back in Egypt doing this and doing that than to be out here and to die. Friend, but I'm going to tell you something. They were murmuring against the redemption of their lives. The one that heard their cries when they were crying, bring us out, bring us out. Finally, God brought them out. And so when He brought them out, they were saying, send us back, send us back. It's just like the world today. But my Bible tells me, he that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of God. That's why those children, when they got over there, wandered around 40 years in the wilderness, and nobody saved. Joshua and Aaron went in on into the promised land. And by the way, they were the only two of the 12 spies who said, let's go up there and get it for that fact there. But listen to me, even Moses, because he would not do just like God told him to do, he disobeyed God and things that he did, only was allowed to look into the promised land, was not able to go into the promised land. For church tonight, listen to me carefully here. God knows exactly what He's doing. You and I ought to be paying attention to what God has said to them, because God has not changed His mind in this day and hour. And then if you go over to the book of Jude, which is the book right before the book of Revelation. So if you find Revelations 1:1, you'll find Jude. And by the way, Jude has one chapter and 25 verses there. So find Jude, and we'll read there tonight, and we'll be closing out of this. He said, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Listen to me, church, there ain't no way to get there outside of this. He said, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence right unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now listen to me, friend, and I, you've got to be earnest in your life. remember what I said earlier there. There are some that would say, well, all you got to do is say this little prayer, or let me pray for you, and everything's going to be all right. You're going to go to heaven. You may not have everything somebody else has in heaven, but you'll be all right there. By the way, can I say this? In the book of John in the 14th chapter, Jesus described heaven this way. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Can I ask you a question? In any of what Jesus said there, did he say, I'll go and prepare a place for you in the far corner, because I know you ain't going to do as good as somebody else, or I'm going to go prepare a place for you right up close to the door, so everybody can see you when you come inside? No, he did not say that. He just simply said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Friend and hide, I'm telling you something. When I get to heaven, I'll have a place prepared for me by Jesus Christ. And that's the most important thing there is, friend. I'm telling you tonight. And so he said we ought to earnestly contend for the faith. We ought to earnestly contend, which means we ought to be putting everything that we've got in it. I mean, if you got a desire to watch a basketball game, a football game, go someplace or do something, we'll earnestly contend to do those things. I remember we used to pack for vacation. Friend, we'd always start a few days out and start packing things that we didn't need. We'd do laundry and we'd do this. I mean, and the wife, she would be packing this and packing that and one thing and another, and we'll go through that. And did we forget anything? We were earnest about what we had. Two reasons there. One, we wanted to take everything we needed to have. Two, we didn't want to forget something we wanted to have or needed to have and have to buy it later on. Why would we be any different in our religious walk, in our faith, in our salvation with the Lord? Just to be earnest about it. Contend, friend, honestly in it there. He said in verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unaware, who were before old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, I'm going to tell you something tonight. Those that once preached the gospel that are no longer preached the gospel, I don't want to stand in their shoes, and I don't want to stand in the shoes of somebody who waters down the gospel, who tries to tell you God is something that He's not, or tries to tell you God will ignore something that He will not. I'm here to tell you the Bible tells us tonight that we are to be holy. Jesus said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Friend and I know that I'm not perfect. I know that you're not perfect, but my God and my Christ is perfect. The Holy Ghost inside of me is perfect. And so I know if I will allow the Holy Spirit to have His way, while I am not perfect, I will be perfectly furnished, the Bible says, unto holy living there, because I'll be striving and contending for the faith. I want to please my God. I want to serve my God. I want to honor my God. I want to be a child that He can be proud of this evening there. But then he goes on in verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, although you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved an everlasting change unto darkness, unto the judgment of that great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities that about them like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and set forth an example, suffered the vengeance of eternal fire. The Sodom and Gomorrah was held on with fire and brimstone. And if you go over to that land today, all you're going to find over there is a black spot because God buried them. Friend, there ain't no way you're going to find anything about that being a good thing. Then he said, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed not about the body of Moses, does not bring against him railing accusations, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I love it whenever I just think about this. The old devil comes against me, and I just say, Satan, get thee behind me in the name of Jesus. I can't say in the name of Ernie. Ernie's nothing, but Jesus is everything tonight, and I'm thankful for that. But then going on there, he said, but these But these speak evil of those things which they know not, which they knew not, but what they know naturally as beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Listen to me, don't seek out godly counsel in the world, and don't seek out righteous counsel in the world. And by the way, just don't seek out counsel in the world, because worldly men will give you worldly counsel which will be against the will, the purpose, and the plan of God. But seek out that counsel which comes from your good old King James Bible. Seek out counsel from a man or from a woman. If you are seeking out godly counsel, who'll go down and dig down into their King James Bible. And can I tell you something else tonight, church? I was reading this and I thought about this. There are people, if I was to say something, and I'll leave it alone. But if I was to say one thing, they say, "Amen, brother, that's right." But if I say it in another way, they'll argue against the Word of God. Friend, so let me just say this tonight. The Bible is always right. And when you think you got something better, just remember this. The Bible is always right. We ought to listen to what thus saith the Word of God, the way the Word of God is written. By the way, again, your King James Bible. Read it tonight, believe it tonight, follow it tonight. And then he says this, "Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain." We know this, that the Bible says that Cain slew his brother Abel because he was jealous of Abel. Abel's sacrifice unto God was acceptable, but Cain's sacrifice was not. And so Cain rose up against Abel and slew Abel because he was jealous that he offered to God worldly things, but Cain offered to him the thing which was required. Cain had offered the sacrifice of blood. And so you and I tonight realize that what God wants from you and I is to accept the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ as the atonement of our sin. But he said, "And ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward of the priesthood of in the gainsaying of Kor." Friend, let me tell you this. Jesus put it to you this way. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If he's to gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what has he there? And so I'll say it tonight in this manner. What are we going to give if we go the way of the world, do the things of the world, accept the path of the world, the plan of the world, and think that the world is doing all right, and go ahead and try to justify things? I'm telling you something tonight, church. I'll just be quite honest with you. Don't you dare try to do anything against my family. If my wife's in the bathroom and I'm standing there at the doorway and a man tries to go in there where my wife is, there's going to be some problems. If I'm at the doorway and my grandbabies or my daughters is in the bathroom and a man tries to go into the bathroom, there's going to be some problems there. You say, "Well, Brother Ernie, what about women?" Hey, they ain't got no business in the women's room. So if I'm in the doorway in the men's room there, and a woman wants to go into the men's room, if my wife's outside the doorway there, there's probably going to be some problems there. I'm just telling you tonight, church, the world is trying to tell us we ought to accept every indecent, ungodly, defiled thing, and I'm telling you tonight, the Bible says to stand against it. And the only reason why they're doing it is because people who are supposed to be Christians cower down and do not stand for the Word of God. Remember what the Bible said this morning. It said, "Draw nigh unto God, He will draw nigh unto you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." We got to start resisting the devil instead of accepting the devil and his ways. And by the way, that means if you're wrong, you're wrong. And God is always right. Which means that tonight, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. God is still always going to be right. And woe unto them that call good evil and evil good, because they're calling God evil and they're calling the devil good. Father, this evening I thank you, Lord, and I praise you for your many blessings, asking you, dear God, tonight to help us. Lord, lead us in the place, the path that you would have us to go. God, I thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you, dear God, for your word. And Lord, I know that I've got to do a better job, Father, of following your word. God, I've got to be a better man of God, Father, in doing that which is right in your sight. Realizing tonight, dear God, there ain't nothing hid from you. But all things, dear God, are open before you. Lord, I pray tonight, help us to do that which we need to do for thy name's sake and for thy will and for thy purpose. God, we ask you tonight that you would just be with those that are lost and undone. Be with those that are grieved.
dear God, backslidden, precious Lord. Father, I pray tonight that You'd give us a heart for the lost. Lord, I pray tonight that we would set our eyes on things above and not on things of this earth. Lord, I praise You and I thank You, Lord, for all that You do and ask You, Father, just to help us, Lord, to be what we need to be for Thy name's sake, for Thy purpose, and for Thy will. And we'll give You glory in Jesus' name. And amen. And amen. God bless you and thank you for being with us tonight. I hope and pray that you can be with us on Wednesday night, if the Lord wills, at 7 o'clock. We'll plan on again being down here at church, not saying that you have to come and be with us in service, because we'd like to go ahead and wait until next Sunday before we do that. But if the Lord will allow us and we'll get off work in time, we will live stream from church next Wednesday night. And so be praying for that. I don't know of any bad weather coming in. But anyways, so we'll see you online then if the Lord wills. But do look forward to seeing everybody, if we can, in person next Sunday, if God allows that to be so. So until then, God bless you. We love you. See you then.